It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it, and I find myself staying up late to catch all the action. I can't be dragging the next morning. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or when my favorite team is playing late. With over 15 flavors to choose from, like watermelon, tropical burst, blue raspberry, peach mango, and more, there's a flavor for everyone. On their website, you have the option to build your own 12-pack or 24-pack and have it delivered right to your door. And if you're out and about, you can always pick up a 5-hour energy shot at your local grocery or convenience store. They're everywhere. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before the next tip-off.
Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I mean, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
Blinds.com has covered over 25 million windows, all backed by a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45% site-wide. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Happy Wednesday to you. You are indeed in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. You heard the man, Sean. You got John Lopez, Reginald Atula, and the return of Figgy Fig from Reading to the Babies.
Yes.
Yeah, what's up, y'all?
Not much, man.
What book did you read?
I read Willie Whistles. It was a book called Willie Whistles.
Willie Whistles.
Yeah.
They had you in there sounding like Suffering Sabotage.
The Andy Griffith theme song. Yeah.
Willie Whistles feels like that would just trip me up.
I'm looking it up right now.
All right, very good. While you do that, let's get going on a Wednesday.
Whistle for Willie?
Whistle for Willie.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. Yeah. Whistle for Willie. All right.
Yeah, I was close.
Yeah.
All right.
Good job reading.
Wow. He was
Good remember.
The words were in front of him. What, he wasn't supposed to memorize
you
the
know the last
now?
Time I read a kid's book?
I do not.
I was a kid.
That's a good point. That feels like it tracks. All right. 713-572-4610 is the Jim Adler, the Texas Hammer text line.
The Texas Hammer.
What up, Jim? Get involved with the program. We always love when you do that. And then also, there is the Mo Karam Injury Lawyer live streams.
Keep it 100.
My bad. Mm-hmm. Both on Twitch and YouTube. Get involved there as well. And you guys already texting and saying that there's approximately 68,000 travel agents in the United States as of the last data set. So, yeah more than you would have imagined.
Mostly cruises now, right?
Yeah, a lot of cruises.
Yeah.
And
cruises, just overseas trips.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I got to tell you, when we had a travel agent when I was working, that was sweet. Just say, hey, I'm going to fill in the blank. Next thing you know, everything's in your inbox. Awesome.
Yeah.
By the way, just real quick, I know we got to get to the Astros here.
I mean, I don't know that people are super excited about getting to the Astros.
Got to get to the Astros. Can't wait to get to the Astros. I'm going to have a very controversial, useless, pointless job at 10:40 that might get me canceled.
Okay.
Yeah.
I am, like, my mind immediately tried to figure out what that is.
Rife with controversy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that retirement going to hit early for you, huh?
That's right. Forced retirement.
Somebody said, had you in there. And wait, the hair and Winnie the Pooh. Okay, I have no idea what that's about. I'll try and figure that out as we go. But we appreciate you guys texting in regardless. All right. It's still early. Mm-hmm. Yes. But
it's early, guy.
That's right.
We're all it's early guy.
You got to be
point.
It's early guy. Because what do you feel like is going to be the catalyst to get the bats going? Because another, you know, offenseless showing, basically, for your Astros in a 3-1 loss to the Giants. They're now sub 500, sitting at third in the AL West behind, yes, the Rangers, but also the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. I don't know why that upsets me, but that upsets me. Right? Like, just the Angels being, even at this very, very early juncture, the Angels having a better record than you makes me mad. And it shouldn't. It's irrational. I understand that. But I'm going to sit here in my irrationality and be upset that the Angels have a better record than you. And it's because you're not able to hit, swing the bats and hit the ball and get runners on the base paths and bring them in.
Yeah. Yeah. Look. Let me ask you both this and our lovely listeners, 713-572-4610. And, of course, YouTube, Twitch, the whole nine yards. It's early. We've just agreed on that. But I have questions. I got questions, the early questions, all right? Early questions is what I'll call it.
Okay, early questions. Go ahead.
I've got, let's see, 3, 6, 7. I got 7 questions for you based on the Astros. I've got 7 questions.
I'm looking forward to all of these questions, all 7. Well, I'm going to say that the over-under is that. Yeah, I'll probably be interested in
4
five
good
of them.
Ones?
That's right. The 713 said, Willie Whistle sounds like a bookie. Absolutely.
Oh, that's true.
Absolutely. Yeah. Willie Whistles. But I'm interested.
This sounds like an old name from the 70s.
Yes. Willie Whistles. I do wonder, like, what kind of book.
He's reading the Willie Whistles book.
That's right.
Like, that's why they call it juice. That's what.
Willie Whistles was a bookie back in the 70s. Right.
Can you say bookie? Bookie?
Right. Willie Whistles said, watch your knees.
Run away fast. There's Willie Whistle.
Willie Whistle said, when I said every Tuesday, I meant every Tuesday.
I didn't realize that was the Wednesday energy we were bringing, breaking knees, caps and such, and teaching babies, but that's where we are.
Willie Whistle drive a pink Cadillac.
Yes.
Oh, that's a different Willie Whistles.
And Willie Whistles doesn't have a cane. That's a walking stick.
That's right. That's right. Why is Willie Whistles wearing all those rings? All right.
We turned Willie Whistles into a bookie.
Oh, God.
Willie Whistle got 10 wives.
All right. I feel like we need to get to the questions.
All right. Let's get back on track.
I got 7 questions. I promise at least 4 of them are
going
to be good.
All right. Let's talk about the Astros and getting these bats going.
That's right. Sean's taking the under. Willie Whistles, we'll check on that. Did this look like a club waiting for someone else to do something?
Can you explain a little bit further?
Like, I'm watching this game. I was texting with you guys a little bit. Because,
I don't think I texted back.
It's okay. I get it. No, not really. I think y'all were at the steak night warm-up.
I was at the bar. I don't know what Fig was up to. He might have, as far as I knew, he might have been reading to the kids all day.
No, I was at the house.
Okay, very good.
All right, let me explain. So I'm looking at this squad. Obviously, as you know, they lost 3-1.
Correct.
As you may know, their offense was putrid again. I think that's 9 runs in 5 games.
That sounds correct, but I will double check to make sure.
They had a season high in hits, 7. They just look like every time someone was stepping up. Go ahead.
Sorry, no. When you said the season high of hits, which was 7. I was sitting next to T. Mill at the bar. I looked up at the, you know, at the TV when they show, you know, the final lines, and I was like, "Wait, when did all those 7 hits happen? It didn't even feel like it."
3 double plays.
Oh.
3 double plays.
Yeah.
Which is one of the things, and that's kind of what ties in with my first question. Every time someone stepped to the plate, it was almost as if they're like, obviously they're focused and they're trying to get a hit. But they're waiting for someone else to do something. They get a hit, and boom, double play.
Okay.
You know, they get come up with runners in scoring position late. And
with 2 outs on there.
And nothing happens with 2 outs. I think it was the 2, 3, and 4 batters coming up in the 9th inning. Nothing. It's a lot of times that's the case with teams. Like, it's like, well, we'll get going. We'll get going. Somebody will get this thing going. It's like they're waiting for someone else to do it. That was a question I had.
I don't know that I have a great answer to that, because yes, I guess in a way, yes, they're all waiting for someone else to do it. And I imagine specifically Jose Altuve is waiting
for
doing
it.
Because he's
the only one.
He's got a .400 batting average, and I think the next closest guy was Jake Meyers with a .200 batting average, and then everybody else is either in the hundreds or below.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just like nobody's really doing it. And even you had the one game in your opening day where it felt like you built innings, right? Yeah. You had guys that, you know, here's a hit and here's another hit that can actually bring someone in. Other than that, I think I made a joke at one point. I think Chaz McCormick got a hit, and I turned to T. Mill, and I was like, well, that's your hit for this inning.
Yeah.
Because
that's what I'm talking about.
That's absolutely the way it feels.
So you do kind of feel that even though you didn't recognize
it. Yes. Like, well, that's it. It's very isolated. And it really just all comes back to, nobody's able to like make really good contact and find spaces. Even the instances where you have a dude, and when you have a dude, you know, making good contact, like obviously Christian Walker has done in a pretty solid way, they're not finding gaps. You're not finding the spaces for the ball to get down. Right. And so it's weird because it feels anomalous.
Mm-hmm.
Not everybody is not getting on base in the same way, if that makes sense. Yeah. I know that wasn't the cleanest way of saying it, but everybody's having different struggles, but it all amounts to the same thing, which is struggles.
Exactly.
Which is very weird and makes me almost, weirdly enough, it eases my concern because I'm like, what are the chances that everybody is off in the same way at the same time?
We'll get to that.
You know?
We'll get to that, all right? Another question for you. And again, we're not bashing them. We're not saying this or that about the season. We're just asking questions because it's early. My next question. Do they miss Alex Bregman already?
I mean, probably.
Miss him as far as what, though?
Maybe as it refers to
the offense.
Maybe as it refers to just someone being able to wake up the bats, so to speak.
Okay, because he's been known for starting off slow.
Correct. I know that. But also known to help the pitching staff, help other batters, you know, get the guys, you know, keep the team focused when things are going bad. Do they miss Alex Bregman already?
I mean, probably, but I don't think, I mean, yes, the notorious slow starts are there, but I do wonder if he, and maybe this is adding too much, like giving too much credit, because we've been in that place where you look around and you go, you start building the guy up. We've talked about the ways in which he's helped Hunter Brown and so on and so forth and various players on the team. But he does feel like a guy where he had the respect of the team. Maybe he could say something or galvanize the guys to get them in a place where, you know, that, you know, rejuvenates the bats. But that might be adding too much credit. But I don't know, maybe, because we talked about who Christian Walker probably being one of the guys that's best situated to step into that role. Mm-hmm. But it's still very early and he has his own things that he's dealing with. Like, I don't know how easy it is for him to step in and immediately be that kind of voice in the clubhouse. So I do wonder if they're trying to find some of that. But yeah, 832 is right. You're probably missing Kyle Tucker way more than you're missing Alex Bregman, as has been evidenced by the fact
that... Well, maybe in terms of like the actual hitting and all. I'm talking about everything. You know, like just everything. All right.
But I mean, the hitting is what we're talking about in particular. Sure. It doesn't seem like dudes are necessarily hanging their heads per se.
Right.
But you're just not seeing the production.
I would say right now, I would use this right now. It's early. I think right now it's a little bit early to kind of have that type of conversation, because especially from looking at last year, how they started and then where they end up finishing. But I think it's early for that part. As far as the bats and all that stuff, I don't think they miss Alex Bregman right now.
All right, I got another question for you then. Are there too many holes in this lineup?
I mean, as of right now, it sure looks like it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that that's a good question where you look at who are the guys that are going to be tent poles, like are going to be the established guys in your lineup. And you would have hoped that Isak Paredes would be one of those.
Yeah.
And he just seems like he's just been just barely off in a lot of aspects. I know he hit the double. The night before.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a hit in this one as well. But like you would anticipate that he would be one of those guys that's relatively consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Christian Walker's another guy that you would look at to be relatively consistent. I would have I was hoping that Yainer Diaz would find a little bit more consistency, especially as a dude who last year had so much responsibility, both catching and then going and playing first base as well, and all the added responsibilities. I do wonder if, you know, having a, I mean, and last year also he had just a lot of new pitchers that he had to learn over the course of things, like as a catcher, right? Which I think there's a level of mental strain and stress that also requires. I would have hoped that coming into this year, having a little bit more stability and consistency would have helped him be more consistent with the bat. This just feels like it might be one of those weird anomalies where a lot of people are having their down stretch, and it all happens to coincide at the beginning of the season.
Well, that ties in with another question I have then, and you just mentioned one of the names. What if Jeremy Peña, Yainer Diaz, and Cam Smith are just okay? They have their normal year that we've become accustomed to. We've been kind of counting on them stepping up, at least Peña for sure. Certainly, Cam, there's optimism. And Yonner, with another year under belt, a lot of people are saying maybe he needs... What if they're just meh?
That's going to be a problem.
It's a big problem.
Like, it's just going to be flat out a problem.
Big problem.
Like, your pitching has been phenomenal.
Yeah.
It absolutely has, but you're not going to get anywhere if you're not able to put up some runs on the board. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that you can do it just off of the strength of Altuve, Paredes, Alvarez, Walker. I mean, I think that it's fair to assume that those guys will stabilize to some degree. Maybe the lowest of those being Paredes, yeah, because there was some projections on how his particular bat would increase with the dimensions of the ballpark. But I think, right, you could say Altuve, Alvarez, Walker, known commodities, proven guys, mm-hmm, at the plate, but you can't be a three-hitter lineup.
Well, exactly, and that's what I was going to say. Like, you're accustomed in the major leagues to giving away maybe one or two outs at the bottom of your lineup. You're used to that. But if those three guys on top of Brendan Rodgers and, let's say,
don't say Chaz McCormick, because apparently he's hitting 500 on the
whomever
year.
Whomever the center fielder is, that's four or five outs you're giving up. You can't give away four or five outs.
No.
Can't do it.
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Especially because even with those guys at the top, they're not going to, it's not going to be every day. And then Yordan has a penchant for being hot and cold, mm-hmm, at times. Like, we're seeing a cold stretch as of right now for all of them. Yeah, no, you're not going to be a good team.
Yeah.
And I hate to say it that flatly, but it's just impossible.
That's
you need
why I'm
to be able to find
questions.
A certain level
these are
of
what
offense.
Ifs. These are what ifs. These are pertinent questions, even though it's early. And you just mentioned another question I had. Very basic, very straightforward. What's up with Yordan?
I don't know. And it's really weird.
What's up with Yordan?
Because it's not just that he's batting sub 100. Like, literally, it's a 0.63 batting, mm-hmm, average for him. His OPS is a 325, which looks like a batting average, mm-hmm, which is really problematic. It's also that we see him with juicy pitches keeping the bat on the shoulder. And then yesterday you saw him expanding the strike zone.
And sliders and breaking balls down the middle where he would normally crush.
Yes. But then on top of that, like, he's also, you saw him yesterday expanding the strike zone, mm-hmm, and like swinging at a pitch that was never online to be, yeah, within the strike zone. And it's just like, this feels so anomalous for Yordan, a dude who is menacing in the batter's box. Like, he's not even looking like himself where he's making pitchers pay, mm-hmm, for giving him a hittable pitch.
And
that's the thing that's really weird.
You tend to read too much into things when players are slumping. So I fully acknowledge that I might be reading too much into this. But even his body language seems a little weird. Like, he's just sort of, I don't know, he's not exactly Mr. Excitement anyway,
sure,
pretty straightforward, but he just kind of seems like he's not altogether into it, like he normally is.
And one of the questions that I have is something that we talked about with Rafael Devers of the Red Sox, where he is starting in a, mm-hmm, terrible, 15 strikeouts,
yeah,
thus far or to start the season, where we've talked about, hey guys, playing the field kind of helps keep people in the flow of things.
Mm-hmm.
Are we seeing a Yordan who maybe is dealing with DHing consistently all the way through?
Yeah,
like, is that a possibility here? And is that something
he's going to be in left today? I believe.
I have not seen.
I think afternoon.
To that regard.
I'm just using logic. Altuve afternoon game after they play at 3 today.
Sure.
It's about time to mix him up in there. Just my projection.
I can see that. And yeah, maybe that's something that, mm-hmm, helps jumpstart him in some ways. But, mm-hmm, now because of how poor you've been, and of course it's five games out of 162,
mm-hmm,
it makes me wonder, like, all these other things, like, what are the things that could be factoring in here? And that was one of the things that I came up with.
Mm-hmm.
Yordan. All right. You're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Just getting going on a Wednesday. Coming up next, let's circle back around to the league meetings in West Palm Beach, where Nick Serio and Mike Thoman talked to Texans All Access. Lopez gives you his breakdown of their conversation. Next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Hey everyone, quick shout out to Whole Foods Market. You know I'm all about eating fresh and finding quality ingredients, and that's exactly what Whole Foods delivers. Whether you're grabbing organic produce, high quality meats, or just a quick healthy snack, they've got you covered. Plus, they're all about sustainability and supporting local farmers, which I love. Next time you're grocery shopping, check them out. You'll taste the difference. Spring is the perfect time to refresh your table, and Whole Foods Market has everything you need. Hosting brunch? Picture this. Flaky, buttery quiche, crispy bacon, fresh berries, and of course, cold-pressed orange juice to brighten up your morning. And if you're in the mood for something fizzy, check out their seasonal Italian sodas. Berry Blend and Orange Hibiscus are total must-tries. So whether you're planning a casual get-together or a full-on feast, Whole Foods Market has you covered. Make Whole Foods Market your destination for all spring gatherings.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show up.
With John Lopez.
It is what it is, means nothing.
And Reggie Adatula.
And that, my friends, is a scorigami.
Always live, always local.
713, what's the damn number? 572-4610.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610 on a Wednesday. Hope you're having a good Wednesday to this point. Nick Caserio and Mike Tomlin. So Nick Caserio, general manager of the Texans. Mike Tomlin, the president of the Texans. Both appeared on Texans All Access yesterday. That's why you got to check in. In fact, speaking of tonight, you should hear from the McNairs on Texans All Access as well.
Looking forward to it.
All the Texans brass out there in West Palm Beach for the league meetings and the various things that are coming out of it. So yeah, worth listening to. But Nick Caserio and Mike Tomlin both collectively talked on Texans All Access, and I turned to John Lopez.
Who had nothing to do. No, I'm just kidding. I love listening to the Texans All Access.
Wow. Man.
That was unnecessary. At your boys.
Man.
The boys, John Harris and Mark Vandermeer.
Couple of my friends.
That was them, wild bro. Felipe Lopez right there, man. I had nothing to do
that
with
was
that.
Unnecessary.
Okay, let me explain. I catch up in the morning on all that stuff, but I literally listen to it live because I had nothing to do. I said, you know what? I'm going to listen to that live. So. That's the explanation.
Okay. All right.
But I did, and I had, and I was kind of like really looking forward to really Tomlin more than Caserio, but you got a couple of nuggets out of this. Neither one was on there more than about 8 minutes. It was kind of a quick hit from the meetings.
Especially with us being 3 weeks out, about 3 weeks out from the draft and everything, which another programming note, tomorrow you will hear from Nick Caserio, and it will be one of those extended interviews where they really get to dive deep with them 3 weeks ahead of the draft. So tomorrow morning, I believe 7:30 on Pain and Penny.
Yeah, that's about an hour right there.
Now that's going to be good stuff. But he did give us a couple of little hints. And so, you know, we've been talking about what we heard from D'Amico Ryans when we heard from him. At the owners' meetings or whatever they're officially called, the NFL meetings. And listening to Caserio, like these two dudes are in lockstep, and I wanted to get your feeling because I didn't like save any of the audio or anything, but I can tell you exactly what he said because I was writing it down. He said he basically doubled down on the offensive line being one that they could largely feel comfortable with as is. And so he's right there with Caserio in terms of, he said, bring him in. We got a new, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, bring him in. Let's see how they do in the meetings. We want to see their mindset, how they relate with Cole Popovich and Nick Caley and the way we're going to do things. It's basically going to be like, we need swarm offensive linemen. He talked about how much they've all started. They've been starters in this league, and they're going to. So it's just another, you know, very high ranking person, the highest on the football side, saying we might be good with these five guys. Now, there's a little maybe, you know, gamesmanship at play here. But it sure did seem like he was right there with the D'Amico Ryans. Like, this could be the dudes.
And, I mean, I think that that's something we're going to have to get comfortable with, right? You're going to have to find a level of comfort with, and especially with the level of, I guess, with the amount of competition that's going to be there. We're just going to have to try and not just, you know, find a way to get yourself to to training camp with that and understanding that feeling. But just understand that that's where you will get an idea of what this line looks like, right? Once you can actually get them on the field and once you can see, you know, who is going to grab those spots over the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond that, I mean, and I thought, I mean, we talked to Ron yesterday in the crosstalk, and I thought Ron asked a good question about, you know, of the guys on the line, who do you feel best about in their positions? And Cam Robinson's actually pretty high there.
Yeah.
But the tough part about that is that then you are having that feeling in a place where you moved on from somebody who I imagine, at least in the pass blocking portion of it, which has been identified as the most important part of what you're doing here by the head coach.
Yeah.
He's not going to be the same as Laramie.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of that, like, if you give that up, what are you gaining in return? I think.
Well, that was the absolute vibe that he gave off. The whole is going to be the sum of the parts is going to be better than what they had before. Which they had one of the best, again, for all the warts and missteps that Laramie Tunsil had, you know, that he was one of the best pass blockers in the world. And I just got the feeling that he's like, don't sweat it. The whole of these parts is going to be better than that. So there we go.
And that has been a consistent message that they've given. Right? Like, everybody's there's going to be a level of want to, is I think, the undercurrent that's there on the offensive line to try and ultimately everybody pull in the same direction and get something done, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's the general idea here. And I've been trying very much to, like, sell myself on the idea. I was looking at pressures on the offensive line, just like where you could assign blame, and a lot of it was left guard, which Kenyon Green, understandable for a long part of the season. I have a feeling that smooths out to some degree. Right guard was another place where you saw a good amount of it. I think we also know Shaq Mason looked like he had lost a step, at least to some degree. That's one of the places where I don't know. And then right tackle was interestingly one of those spaces where I don't know. Can I ask a question to you in this instance? If right tackle has a average to above average, a little bit above average, like pressures allowed off of that side, do you attribute that more to Titus or to Blake? Because I think that's one of those competitions that we're going to be seeing on this offensive line.
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, we don't even know where Titus is going to play, and that question has not been asked. Maybe it will be tomorrow. You know, if they have a sense of where he's going to play. I think either one of those guys, I should say both of those guys, I wouldn't say is an upper tier pass blocker. You know, they've been okay. He said something else that I thought was very interesting. I know you're going to dig in on this because I want to get to Mike Tolman as well here, but. Mark Vandermeer was asking him about the draft and what they could do. And he said, I think he actually said TBD on trade discussions as they pertain to the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's leaving it open. I mean, I know they're going to leave it open, but, you know, he didn't seem to indicate that they were like leaning away from trading up or down in this draft, which I like. Actually,
I kind of believe that too.
Yeah, I
just
believe
looking
it too.
At his track record, man, I feel like he loved the trade more than actual signing free agents and all that.
He loves
stuff.
Those late picks.
Yeah,
he loves late sixth and seventh round picks.
Yeah, and I think that seems like it's fair to leave a level of wiggle room open in this. I was reading an interesting piece from NFL.com where they were like, "Hey, with this NFL draft, a piece of advice." For the teams that are drafting in round one. And one of the pieces of advice that I found to be interesting was this doesn't feel like the draft to trade up just generally, right?
Well, that's in his wheelhouse then.
And
back two or three spots, five spots, get another pick.
Yeah, he absolutely has that within him. And maybe not trade up in the first round, maybe trade back or maybe stay and stay
back and then back up.
But I think you have the capability to do some of the moving or shaking, maybe with some of those other picks, second round, your 2/3. Like, I think that those are the places where maybe you can do some moving and shaking to get into the tiers that you ultimately want to. But yeah, I this definitely feels like there's a lot of it's a rich draft. When it comes to like guys at a certain level, there's a lot of guys at a certain level that I feel like is relatively passable, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I think they have the ability to maneuver it pretty well, which is, I guess, as good of a place as you can be for this, for going into a draft, is knowing that, hey, we have the ammo to go get the guys that we need, especially in a spot where there's a whole bunch of guys, or there's a decent amount of guys to go and get that you at the positions that you want.
And then Mike Tolman was, I think, a little more enlightening and entertaining informative as it goes here, because he was talking with Vandermeer, and it wasn't the normal stuff that we've heard a couple of times from him about, you know, our priority is this and we want to just kick it down, we're doing studies. He actually said there's a ton, quote, a ton of momentum toward renovation or rebuilding. He didn't say either, you know, either or. But he interestingly did say twice, "Work every day that passes, we're a day closer to the lease expiring." And you can, it doesn't take a genius to figure out what he's doing here. He's already kind of working on getting this lease done, axed, nixed, whatever you want to call it, earlier than it's supposed to be, which is what, 7 years, 5 years, something like that. Getting it, you can tell that they're working in the back channels, because he also said that he's talked with numerous stakeholders. That is rodeo people.
If you want
my interpretation, that's the Houston Livestock Show and Rodeo. He's talked to numerous stakeholders about it, about the lease expiring, and aligning with people in terms of what they want to get done. So that to me was enlightening. Everything that we've projected and thought about, they're going to try to expedite this thing. It's going to happen sooner rather than later, whether it's a renovation or a rebuild.
I mean, yeah. And yeah. I think that what he's doing is setting a deadline. Like, when you're doing negotiations, deadlines help progress a deal forward. And that is a deadline that it's good to keep front of mind. And it's a deadline that I think that all the parties involved are aware of, because, I mean, even before Tolman comes in, prior iterations of this organization have been working towards this goal for years, right? Like, this is not something that they brought in Tolman and immediately became a priority. This has been a priority. So they've been working towards this. I think all parties know that you need to find some level of resolution here, even just on the basic idea of like maintenance and upkeep, keeping the stadium in a place where it's passable. But I think also renovation clearly would be something that's not just getting you up to speed, but then getting you to where you'll be able to live with it for a little bit longer, right? But yeah, this is his expertise, right? Yeah. These negotiations are what he does well, and you can see that he has a game plan and a way to try and go about this, where all the parties on his side, they have in one accord, and they're applying a certain level of pressure to the county and that side of things to try and help, you know, come to a resolution, which makes sense. I would not expect anything different.
I would expect, this is me talking, within 6 months, we have some sort of recommendation, some sort of report about what they're leaning toward, or a recommendation of what they're doing and how they want this lease to. I don't think it's going to be long at all. I think within 6 months they're going to really start rolling things out.
That feels quick.
That's kind of quick.
I mean, that has been, there's clearly, I mean,
he's
a lot
here
of
for one reason.
It. Right.
They hired him for one reason. This. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that he's overseeing.
So what
do they hired him for this?
So what do you expect the news to be? Is it like,
well, that's
like 6 months? To me, that felt like renovations. We agreed to.
No. What I'm saying is, within 6 months, we're going to start to hear exactly which direction they're leaning. Like, whether it's renovation, you know, rebuilding. Because remember, he was here a week and said they're already doing studies. Like, he was here a week and said, oh, yeah, we got these studies going on. I'm like, holy cow. So, yeah, within 6 months, I'll bet you we're going to know this is what they want, this is what they're going after, and the pressure is going to be ramped up on the county to get something done.
Yeah, they're trying to move quickly towards that. I'm excited to see.
Hell, we've already seen some renderings.
Yeah, and those renderings from January, at least, when I saw them, and, I mean, they involve the names, the go-to names in sports architecture. I know HKS is one of those populous. Is another. There's a third one that I'm not as familiar with, being a little bit of an architecture nerd. But yeah, they're rapidly trying to move towards this development. And Mike Tolman seems like the man that they is absolutely for the job, because he's absolutely pushing this further and further. All right, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get to the question of the day. One of the rule changes seems to implement in the NFL Hawkeye technology to help better acknowledge the spotting of the football. And so does that mean the chain gang is going away? And that leads to the question of the day. What jobs do you view as either useless or pointless? Or you can counter that with what jobs are viewed as useless and pointless that you want to support. 713-572-4610. Let's do that next.
Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyer Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
All right, question of the day as I get down this birthday cake.
Happy birthday.
Happy birthday, man.
It is not my birthday. Not yet, at least. Yeah, it is not Earth Day.
Someone else's cake?
No, nah, you know, around here, they got the...
There's cake for everything.
They do the cake for everything. That is one of the good things about working in an office, especially where there's that kind
there's
of
cake.
Structure.
Yeah, so what they doing, they celebrating all the April birthdays.
At the same time. Yeah. That's right. And so there's a
which
big old
which is cool.
Cake.
Yeah. I don't think they ever did that before.
Well, they did it last month, and I got an email, and they go, 10:30. Oh, cool. Cool, yeah.
Yeah, you can go get some cake.
Everything is between 10 and 2.
That helps a lot. Thanks for the email.
Yeah, but there's always someone in the office that is in charge of getting the cake, and that is not a useless job.
No.
Brings us to our question of the day, inspired by the fact that the NFL implementing Hawkeye technology. Sony has done this Hawkeye technology you've seen in tennis a whole bunch.
Yeah.
In identifying where the ball lands, whether it's in or out. And the NFL is going to utilize this when it comes to their measurements, right? So the chain gain is not fully gone, but their importance is being a little bit minimized.
Yeah.
Like, you're not going to see this season for the NFL the chain gang bring the chains out to the middle of the field and then do the chain measurement to see.
Right. Y'all stand right there. We'll let you know if we need you.
That's right. We're look up to the video board to see Hawkeye technology, where they are, what's the actual measurement here.
Yeah.
Which, funny enough, I don't think that this actually spots the ball, though. I think you still have the spotting of the ball happening in the same way, but at least the Hawkeye technology will take the ball.
They will
take the spot of the ball, and then they will take the where the chains are supposed to be, and the Hawkeye technology will do that there. But at the very least, the most visible part where the chain game runs out to the field, that part of their job is going away.
Yeah.
And that got you thinking, what are the most useless or pointless jobs out there? 713-572-4610. But I'm going to have a second part of this that I think is more fun.
Mm-hmm.
I am going to argue in favor of the jobs that that people view as useless.
You're just being contrary today.
Yes, I will be a contrarian. But I feel like, look, there's some of these jobs that we're not giving enough credit for.
No, I get it. And you don't want to ever cast aspersions on somebody trying to make a buck. But there are some useless and pointless jobs.
All right.
In my view.
Convince me of such.
I think I know what John about to say.
Convince me of such, John Lopez.
I'll wait for you on this one.
Well, okay, so one of them is probably a little controversial and might get me canceled. And actually, somebody mentioned it on the text board already. Walmart greeters.
The greeters in the stores?
I got another one. Because here's the thing. I get the concept of a Walmart greeter. But have they really made Walmarts more welcoming and friendly?
Yes.
No, they have not.
Yes.
Walmarts are not welcoming and friendly.
When you walk in that door, it is. That sweet old lady, how you doing, baby?
But
like,
then what happens?
I need that.
But then what happens?
Then you in a Walmart.
See,
fights in the aisles.
See, I look at them as undercover security.
Maybe.
Them people not stopping, no show.
I know, but it's still like a thing where they can at least ID the person
if
they walk out.
Let someone know.
Yeah, because if it's nobody right there, then it's a free fall then.
But like, if you go to a restaurant and there's a... they don't call them greeters, but whatever the person, you know, if they,
like a hostess or host,
they make you feel like, all right, this is a welcoming, you know, comfortable environment. And it tends to be that in a restaurant, you know, very nice. This is a nice night. You go to Walmart and there's a greeter. And then, like I said, there's fist fights. There's crap all over the aisles. There's, you know, boxes.
They're supposed to do all the work.
It's not real welcoming and friendly is all I'm saying.
Also, you talking about fist fights, like every single Walmart at any given time has fist fights happening at times.
I mean,
at Walmart.
I think it's over 50% of the time. I'm exaggerating, but it's a lot. And then the other one might be, maybe I'm trying too hard, but I think it's kind of useless and pointless right now. Paparazzi. Dude, everybody has a phone.
I actually think you have a decent point here.
Yeah. Everyone has a phone.
Well, on top of that, and in a different way, people have phones. The people that paparazzi would typically be accosting are celebrities, where they just be putting their mess out there on
anyway,
social media.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to get to the mess, if you are so inclined to view that, just hop on the social media platform of your choosing, and you'll get enough of that mess. So I do think that you're actually onto something there. I don't have... I don't have much.
We don't need paparazzi
in the ways of defense for the paparazzi.
Yeah, it was one I was thinking of, and this is where I side with Reggie. This I feel like this job is a little more important than what people think, and I got a lot of family that's in this industry, mail carriers.
Okay.
Oh, elite.
They are, yeah. I feel like, because I know we always had the conversation like, oh, do we really need mail carriers and all that type of stuff? I feel like they are very important, man. And I could be biased because, hell, I was almost a mail carrier. If I would have became a mail carrier, I probably wouldn't be here to this day.
Get you a nice, good government job.
Yeah, man.
Y'all are going to make me fight with y'all, aren't you? I respect the mail carriers.
Ain't no way. Not in a world. I'm not going to let you get to the place that you're trying to.
See,
in a world where
before,
we are doing.
This is what I thought he was about to say.
Yeah. Brother, in a world where we're doing more and more online shop, you yourself
hold on.
Are an online shopper.
Hold on.
Are you for real?
Salute to all the mail carriers out there.
Ain't no way he's about to do
listening
this.
Right now on your route.
Salute to the mail carriers. I could not have more respect.
Salute to my sister.
I could not have more respect for Amy. Amy's our. I know her by name. I got her a Christmas present this year. I love the mail carriers.
Where's the butt?
Here's my point. Everything you can do via the U.S. mail, you can do elsewhere. Everything. Literally everything.
You don't get me out here paper for the USPS? Is that what you're about to do?
Name something that the USPS does. I love you, that you can't do somewhere else with another,
you know,
with
work
another company.
They work damn near 7 days a week now.
I know.
Deliver to every single location in the United States.
Can do that with FedEx, UPS.
Nah, they be dropping their stuff off.
No, that's just your opinion, man.
No, like they be dropping their stuff.
They ain't coming through with them checks.
Not in all the places.
You can send checks now, via anything. Online checks. You can do it with...
Not for government checks.
Government checks. You can do it any way you want. All I'm saying is I respect their job, but the United States Postal Service is... basically unnecessary.
This man doing politics, he out here doing politics. This is the one I can't get behind, man.
It's basically unnecessary. All these little flyers you get, it's you get a bigger audience and you get more of them, you know, via online phones or send them FedEx, UPS, whatever you want. I'm not saying I'm down on what they do. I respect it. I'm just saying it's unnecessary.
This man is a big city elite. A big city elite not looking out for the small towns where only the USPS will deliver. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I actually have a way of fixing this problem before we get to some of these texts. Turn every postal office, turn every postal office into a dispensary.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. They would make more money.
You been smoking from that dispensary?
He's like,
man.
Less mail, more weed.
You already have the buildings.
Man, you sound like a hippie right now.
Well, I'm not, but you already have the buildings. You could make more money.
Hey, dude, you know what they should do with the post office?
Every post office, turn it into a dispensary.
Hey, some post office are already a dispensary.
Yeah, well, they already are.
You just don't know. From the 713, Salvation Army Santas. So you're here to support the Salvation Army Santas, but he's like the post office out of here, dog. Where are the little old ladies going to congregate during the middle of the day, huh?
I don't disagree that they're somewhat useless and pointless, but you got to think of the babies. The babies look forward to seeing them.
I was going to say that you need that visual reminder, I think.
Well, that too.
In that time period.
But the babies going into a store, they love it.
Yeah. I kind of got one that's close to this one and have to do with kids.
Mm-hmm.
I think the trick or treat and going house to house.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like that's kind of outdated now because they always do these trunk or treats and they do little events and stuff like that. I feel like they're going to houses.
It's not a job per se.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a useless thing that might as well just go without it at this point.
Somebody said turn every post office into a holding pen for Cowboys fans.
Somebody said, will they deliver the weed? See, it's a brilliant idea. Like, y'all got to think about it.
This was just an elaborate way for you to try and...
I don't even smoke weed.
You're trying to rebound.
I don't even smoke weed.
That's suspicious. That sounds like somebody trying
to get on the weed people side now.
but not the postal workers? I don't understand how that goes.
No, I'm on the postal worker side. I'm just saying it's an unnecessary thing.
I don't think that's at all. Yeah, shout out to the 231 who is a male person delivering in the freezing rain in northern Michigan. Oh, wow.
Man. Yeah, no, that's tough, man.
You can kiss every bit of my ass.
Yeah. I'm with you right there.
I'm trying to help mail carriers.
No, you're not.
I'm here for them.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Just like you're not here for the chain gang.
And they job got so much tough, too, since COVID. Because before then, I think they was making a lot of money. And now they got to work extra hard and... A lot of people are quitting and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So, they, like, my sister personally be working from, like, 7 to 8.
Respect.
Like, yeah, nah, we ain't, nah, we can't get
imagine if she worked, you know, 9 to 5 at a dispensary. It'd be a lot easier.
Man, come on, right. Man.
I want to talk more about this chain gang. So, you're in the loop here on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's go around the NFL. Because I do feel like there's been a lot of talk about this and some of the other changes that have been made in the NFL. We'll talk about that. But also, I do think that this has been overblown, this particular Hawkeye technology being put in. I'll tell you why next.
It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
Hey, it's Jim Costa with Cash the Ticket. Mike Valeni and I are all over the tournament again this March. Breakdowns of every region and every game, who are the Cinderellas, and which team's cutting down the nets. Subscribe and listen to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app, wherever you get your podcasts.